This is Inside the Magic Studio with your host, Robert Martin, the interview podcast with the best in Magic Gathering. Thanks to GatheringMagic.com, where you can find this show and some of the best articles in Magic, along with Cool Stuff, Inc. This week's guest, Brad Nelson. My first question is, how has the move from North Dakota to Roanoke to be at Star City Games affected you as a player and as a person?
Well, as a player, it's helped drastically. Since I moved, because back in North Dakota, there really isn't anyone to play with. I couldn't get a physical game of Magic that would teach me anything if I, like, begged my surroundings. Like, there's just no one in Bismarck Mandam to do so. So once I moved here, I had, like, Todd and Brian Brandewan and Jerry T. And all these guys, like, just, you know, want to grind some games. Like, sometimes our playtest videos are actually just playtest videos. Like, we're testing for tournaments coming up, and they're, you know, they're very selfish, as in, like, we're just playing the matchup that we're taking that weekend. But it's been great. I've learned a lot about deck building from Jerry. Jerry's just wise beyond his years with Magic. He's been in the game forever. He knows how to build a deck and knows how to tune it. And ever since then, I've been, you know, designing my own decks when I consider myself just a developer and just working on unique strategies. I've always been good at metagaming, but, you know, getting to be around these players all the time and being challenged constantly has helped me out. Also, I finally, like, found a good rhythm where I went to a bunch of events, and when I moved here, I went to a bunch of opens and stuff. But now I'm pretty much decided that I just want to just selectively pick what I want to participate in, and mostly that's just standard events because I like standard, I do well in standard, yada yada. And as a person, I'm just a lot happier because living in North Dakota was pretty miserable, actually. Like, there's just no one that I had common interest with. And here I can just do something every night of the week. And there's people that are constantly challenging me. So I love living in Roanoke.
Well, let's talk about some of the things you do now at Roanoke. You now help Evan do the set review. Is this an eventual thing where one day we will have Brad Nelson doing the Magic show?
I do not think so. That's Evan's baby. I really like where I'm at, and I don't really look that far in the future, and especially not trying to snipe his project. I enjoy what I'm doing, and I will continue to just be happy. And if I think of something that'll be sweet for content, I just go to Evan and Lauren and see if they like it. And usually they're pretty open to some of my ideas. Sometimes they're pretty wacky. And there's, you know, if I got to run Star City Games, it'd be a lot different. Probably not as profitable, but it would be fun. And but no, I like the Magic show being in Evan's hands. He's always done it perfect, and I've always loved it. I'm still a fan of the show.
When you do the complete set reviews, you do this all in one day, correct?
One or two, yeah.
How hard is it after, say, 4 or 5 hours of going after every card, is it to stay focused and actually try to provide good content?
It is a challenge. I'd actually say that it's kind of like when you have that mindset, you're just going to do it and you like doing it. Now, that minute that we're done, I become a different person and I don't want to talk anymore. And I just want to sit and absorb information or watch a TV show or something like that. Like, I would not want to go out to dinner with anyone and have a conversation since I talked all day long. But it's fun just sitting and getting that much FaceTime with Evan. And just getting to joke around and talk about Magic cards, like, it's a dream. Like, it's right when the set's new, so you're not under that much pressure to, like, be exactly correct with all the cards, because Magic just changes all the time. Some cards are obvious, some aren't. But for the most part, we just get to talk about Magic cards, so it's not that challenging.
When you two debate a card,
I'm always right.
Now, do you guys, like, go over these cards, say, 3 months later, just between each other to say, you know, Evan, this card actually was good?
Well, I've been starting to do pie bets, and we haven't really cashed in on it yet. Evan owes me a pie bet. I'm probably going to lose the next one because it was a bold statement that I made. I was like, Aurelia's Fury will not be standard playable in a month. Like, it will not be in a top 8 of an open, which is probably going to be wrong. But we don't really do that. Like, we'll have small daggers here and there, but there's so many things that we do that it's so easy to find something to make fun of each other for. It doesn't have to go back to the set reviews.
Does any of it get edited out?
Oh, God, yeah. I swear like a sailor. I mean...
And with those moments, because Evan being a father, does he give you the look, the dad look?
He gives me some looks. I think the best one I've ever had is, so we have like, you know, paperwork for when we do opens, when we commentate them, and I like just didn't do any of my paperwork for the entire year at the end of the year. And I'm like, oh, I got to do all these. How do I do them? And I was like, this is like your, you know, third year of doing commentary, right? Or second year. And I'm like, yeah. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And he just gives me that shake. Like, really? Like, this is how you, you know, you exist in society. Like, I have no idea what shows I worked. Like,
you do Above the Curve with Glenn and Jerry.
Yep.
Who thought of Above the Curve?
Jonathan Choi, or Jonathan Che. Well, so Jonathan Choi is one of the sweetest directors ever. I love him to death. And but when he got there, now he's an Asian guy, and we just mispronounced his last name. And he just kind of went with it for months until we finally found out that his last name is actually Che. But now we can't call him anything but Choi, because that's just like what I'm so used to. But it was Jonathan Choi, and he is awesome, and he really loves sports, and he wanted to do something like that. And it was his baby, and we turned GBTV into it. And I think it's pretty successful so far. And we're still getting our groove. Like, Glenn and Jerry and I still just need to, you know, be able to bounce off each other quicker. But as time goes on, I think it'll be better.
One of the things that, and this is probably because both of your personality and play styles are different, is that you and Jerry can look at the exact same deck and see two things differently from it, which provides great interaction.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I was talking to Jerry a couple weeks ago about this, and I found the core difference between Jerry and I, and it's when he plays Magic, he thinks like this. He says to himself, if my opponent does this, how am I going to react to that in three turns? And I say, if I do this, how is my opponent going to react to it? And those are like the two core sentences that we built our entire Magical careers around. He loves reacting to his opponents, and I love my opponents reacting to me. And so that's why a lot of our card choices are different. Because I don't want to sit back on permission. I want my opponent to have it. I don't want to have it.
You talked about your schedule that you're wanting to do with Magic, and you want to play standard as much as possible.
Yeah.
Do you like have your schedule planned out for this year already, based on what's out there from Wizards?
I'm very bad at planning out weeks because it's too difficult for me to look at that much material. And I didn't even know how many pro points I had until Atlanta, or no, sorry, not Atlanta. I'm going to Atlanta this weekend, but Atlantic City, when Raptor or Joshua or Layton, you know, reminded me that I actually have a lot of pro points this season. I wasn't paying attention to them at all. And so now I think I'm just going to have to hit all the North American GPs and try to get back on the you know, the train and do that. But the last time I was like really fighting for that, I did not like it. Hopefully I can go in with a better mindset. Like, I don't want to go to a modern GP. I don't like the format. So I don't know if I'm going to. But I probably should, but then that's the same mentality of when I disliked Magic in 2011.
Do you feel that this kind of approach towards Magic in the long run is going to be beneficial for you?
It's up in the air. I don't really know. I definitely always feel like very – like my if there's like – you know, if you have multiple lives, one of them I must have just been a saint because I feel so lucky – with everything I do, like, I get to make all this awesome content, and I love making content. I think I'm okay at it, but people seem to love it. And so I'm really passionate towards content and trying to do the best possible job I can at Star City Games. I take all constructive criticism and really think about it. I try to answer any questions as possible, and I love that. I don't love going to tournaments every weekend. I think it's a grind. I get too sick and fatigued, and I can't accomplish goals that I'm trying to start accomplishing again. Now, without traveling as much, I'm starting to, like, you know, maintain a healthy eating habit, and I'm starting to go work out. I went and worked out today for the first time, and I'm going to start doing it with Ollie Entrazzi, which he literally lost an Ollie Entrazzi in the last 6 months. He's like half his size. And I'm like, you know what? I want that. I want to do that. He goes every day, goes and works out, and I want to accomplish that. And it's too difficult when you're on the road every week. Now, do I want to go to all the pro tours? Yes. And I'm seeing that when I skipped 11 Grand Prix in 2011, I missed gold by 2 points. And I think I could have, you know, probably gotten those 2 points by going attending the Grand Prix. And I wouldn't have been missing PT Gatecrash, which is really depressing to me. I'm it's going to be a hard weekend. I'm probably going to spend most of it drunk. It saddens me, especially since it's a standard pro tour, and I have the sweetest deck on the planet that I'm just going to spoil at the Grand or at the Open, just to dig at all the pro players. So I'm going to be like that. I could have been playing this at the pro tour.
Effect of doing more of those events. Now you have been at a lot of them on the East Coast or ones that are within drivable distance.
Yep.
For you, how much do you feel it's important for you as Brad Nelson, Star City Games employee, to make those appearances at those events?
I have no idea. I mean, probably high. It's a give and take. Like if I go to all of them, then I grind myself out and I burn myself out and my content's not as good. My deck choices aren't as good. And I'm not as happy. But I definitely love – I'd love when a fan comes up and just says, like, I love your content or wants me to sign something. So I really like going to events and doing things like that and actually getting, like, one-on-one time with the people that watch me all week long. It's so unbelievable that's the situation I'm in, and I can't get over it. So I love going to events and meeting people and things like that. And Opens are a great place to do that because the pressure isn't really on.
Do you feel that with all the things you do for Star City, including you talked about earlier coverage, I just had an interview with Cedric Phillips, and we talked a lot about coverage because that's what he likes doing. Yeah. How much fun is it for you to do coverage?
Coverage is a blast. I love doing it. I keep going in these back and forths as well as I'm not one of the people that are fighting for every show, but I like doing coverage more than playing Open Series tournaments, and that's because I get to do it with a friend. Now, if I'm doing it with someone I dislike, I haven't had fun in the past doing that, and I don't really want to do that in the future. But doing it with a friend, like I get to do somewhere in Florida with Cedric, and I think that's just going to be an awesome show. It's fun and enjoyable, and it's a struggle, sure. Like by the end of Sunday, you're just dead. But I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun, because it's not worth the money, because it's straight work for 2 days straight. It's just there because it's so much fun, and spending two whole days talking about Magic with a friend seems like a blast. So I love doing it. It just definitely depends on who I'm doing it with.
If I'm not correct, you missed the last Invitational.
I skipped the last Invitational.
Why is that?
Because flights were terrible and I wanted to go see my mommy.
I can fully understand why you said that.
Yeah, the flights were really expensive. I wanted to just go home and see my family. And it was I thought it was going to be a big event. I didn't know it was only going to be 200 people. I didn't know everyone was going to have terrible deck lists. I would have went after seeing like what actually happened. But before the event, it would have cost me either all of my miles or $600 extra. And I didn't think that an invitational was worth $1,000 after hotel and taxi and things like that.
Yeah, and typically the payout on that is better than pretty much anything out there outside of the Pro Tour.
Oh, I totally agree with you, and it is. I just was not it's the same thing. I'm not going to go to an event unless I'm passionate about the event. Like, I was passionate about GP Charleston. I was passionate about GP Atlantic City, and I did well at both those events. And all of my events – I've cashed every event in the last 6 months that I've been passionate about and that I really wanted to go and play. And the ones that I really didn't care about, I missed. So I definitely am taking that into consideration now.
It seems like at least when you're doing your content online and when you do your Twitch TV show, you're seeming to have more fun with Magic.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm definitely – like the biggest fear that I had was if I – like changed and showed my actual personality to people where I just enjoy Magic. Now I can be as fierce as everyone else, but that's in professional level events that I want to win. And when I want to win Magic, yes, I will kick a puppy to win the game. You know, I will be just like, just, you know, like anyone else. I will just want to win. But for the most part, if I'm not in a big event, I just like having fun. I like seeing the game through the eyes of like that EDH player. Now, I can't really fully do that, but I'm trying to learn how to do it. And that's what why I made Trainer on Tuesday, because I enjoy Magic and I just wanted to enjoy it and have fun and see that side of the game again because of all the pressure and all the spotlight. But I thought if I did that, people might not, you know, respect me or like me anymore. But I learned that there's people out there that will. Some people lost respect to me, but others gained it. And as long as I'm making some people happy, I'm okay with that.
Does having an outgoing personality at events sometimes get in the way of what you do at the event?
I mean, I don't really know. Like, there are days, like, there was one time when I lost round 15 at Charleston, and I didn't make top 8 with the Hoof deck, and I really wanted to, and it was really sad because it would have qualified me for Gatecrash. And somebody really kept asking me all these really bad questions. And moments like that, I just have to say, hey, I can't do this right now. I'm sorry. And I have to walk away from them. And it feels bad. But then there's moments like in Atlantic City when this guy comes up to me and he said, my friend over there is too shy to come up and talk to you, but he watches all your stuff. He's a huge fan of yours. He talks about you all the time. He plays all of your decks at FNM. And I never really thought about that guy out there that will just play every deck that I play. Like, I feel so bad for the person that will play anything I play, because, like, I have some home runs, but a lot of them are just whiffs. And the guy's like, just sign these two cards for his birthday next week. And I was like, no. And I went over and I went up to this kid, and now he was only like 4'11", like 80 pounds. And I start just walking straight at him. And he looks like he's about to get hit by a car. And his eyes just get big. He gets scared. You can see his muscles tense up. And I just like put my arms out and like say, give me a hug. And, you know, I give this kid this big hug. And It's because of them that I'm in the situation I'm in. So I don't even see it like a demand at all. Like, very few times it is, and that's when I'm just personally like emotional over something. But if I'm at a tournament, I'm going to talk to everyone, because like why not?
Between all the content you give out to the community, is there possibly anything else you think you could do?
Oh yeah. I mean, once something is found like that, it just gets created, right? But that's one of the reasons why I'm working my best to get on a schedule of streaming as much as possible. And I thought it was like more doable, but because there is a high demand with how many hours I put in at Star City Games, that every night it's difficult. And I was sick the last couple, but I like Trainer Tuesday, so I started doing that. And another thing I'm trying to do is trying to do a stream based on teaching the fundamentals. Now, I understand that high content and deck lists and things are important, but with the huge boom that Magic had and all these players wanting to get competitive, there's not a ton of content out there to help people get the fundamentals in Magic, and that's something I really want to start learning how to teach as Magic players. And this is something Choi told me, and it made so much sense. Is as in the professional community, our content is mostly around opening our brain and just explaining what we're thinking right now. There's not a lot of teachers. And I of course have no idea how to teach anything. I did this like stream a couple weeks back, which I just gave away the deck I was taking to Atlantic City, because I found that if I'm playing a deck that has four colors and is like weird, no one cares anyway. They're like, yeah, that's just a Brad deck. But I want to learn how to teach the fundamentals of the game, because I think they're so essential and a lot of players are missing them. And that's why players don't understand, like for years, have no idea how to build a sideboard or how to mulligan or how to build a mana base. Like, these are things that you can teach yourself or you can be taught, but there's no one out there teaching them. And I want to start trying to find a way to do that. And it's a really uphill battle, because I'm not a teacher. My content has always been based around either entertainment or just opening my mind to what I'm thinking right now. And it's not actually, you know, teaching someone to learn. And that's something I want to do.
What are your goals for this year in Magic?
Everything, just I want to keep building on things that I'm already doing. I want Above the Curve to be amazing. I want to start, you know, doing better at events when I do coverage. I do care about winning Magic tournaments, but there's a tournament every weekend, And to me, there's something there, but I feel like I'm on the downswing of that. Like, I want to fight for every tournament I want to fight for, but other than that, I don't want to go to enough tournaments that'll, like, get me to platinum or whatever. I think if I spike a pro tour, I'll hit platinum, sure. But I'm not going to go to every event. I think that's just behind me. I really enjoy content. I want to learn how to make it as best as possible so people are not only learning, but they're entertained. And those are, like, where my passions are right now. But I will hit everything on the East Coast that I can. Like, I'm going to, I think, the next three opens, the next three weekends, just because I feel like playing Magic in the next couple of weeks. I love new standard formats. I found a deck that I love in Legacy, which is Hypergenesis, and it's easy and fun, and everyone hates it because it's not real. It's not a duel. It's just, you know, like, Hypergenesis is the standard deck, right? It's just the like, playground bully. It's like, you got it? Because if you don't, you're dead to, like, my three fatties. And I just love it. It's so much fun. I've been playing it online. I'm just giggling the entire time. So I'm going to be going to those events, but for, like, going and winning every event again or trying to get back to 2010, like, I actually think I'm playing on that level again, which makes me very happy. But I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. I'm going to be going to Pro Tour Dragon Maze, and hopefully it's a block format, and I'm always good at block. So hopefully I do well there. But other than that, I just really want content to be pushed forward in the next year and be pumping out the best possible.
I'd like to thank Brad Nelson for joining us on this episode of Inside the Magic Studio. You can reach me on Twitter under the Beme, T-H-E-B-E-M-E, or The Magic Studio. I'd like to thank GatheringMagic.com and Cool Stuff Inc. for sponsoring the show. And thank you for listening. Until the next episode of Inside the Magic Studio.